Welcome to Bootstrap MD, the Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast, your source to help you, the entrepreneurial doctor, live life on your own terms. Get new ideas and inspiration to help you find more balance in your professional life. If you're ready to get the knowledge without all the hype, you've come to the right place. It's the Bootstrap MD Podcast. And now your host, Dr. Mike Wu Ming.
Doctors change lives every day, but what happens when life changes yours? A single injury, a sudden illness, your career, your income, your future can shift in an instant. The best physicians don't just plan for success, they protect it. At Set for Life Insurance, they believe financial security isn't a luxury, it's a necessity. True owned occupational disability insurance ensures that no matter what happens, your future stays in your hands. Because protecting your income means protecting everything you built. Visit drpodcastnetwork.co/setforlife today. Secure your future before life makes a choice for you. One of the most rewarding side businesses that you can do as a physician or healthcare professional is to become a physician coach or consultant. But if you don't have any clients, you really don't have much of a business. So if you're struggling to find clients, then I think this episode is going to be for you. I'm going to talk about 7 free ways that you can start getting more clients and scaling your physician coaching business on this episode of Bootstrap MD. This is the podcast for physician entrepreneurs and healthcare entrepreneurs. And I'm talking about one of my favorite subjects, which is physician coaching and physician consulting. And these are one of my 7 favorite ways to get new clients. If you don't have clients, you don't have much of a business. So without further ado, let's go ahead and discuss 7 ways to scale your marketing for your coaching practice. And I know what you're going to say about marketing. I know many of you are going to think, oh, great, here we go. I want to be a sleazy salesman. Now, I mentioned this past, if you come from, instead of like marketing and change it to teaching or providing education, then I think it can really shift your thinking about what you think of marketing or advertising. Because at the end of the day, I wish you could say that the best coaches have the most successful coaching practices. But that's not the case. It's the best coaches who can market their coaching practice the best or usually have the most successful practices. So again, if you feel that it's cringy or kind of weird to marketing yourself and being your drum, hey, I get it. I'm the same way too. But my business didn't improve until I realized it's the marketing at the end of the day that makes the best difference. So if it helps you to focus on education and marketing, then more power to you. So let's talk about 7 ways. The first, by far, is referrals. This is usually where I get the most bang for the buck. Another statistic I'm going to throw out, you had 91% of clients would give a referral, but only 11% of salespeople in the statistic ask for them. Just over 1 out of 10 will actually ask for them. So if you've got current clients, even after your first session, ask them for a referral. Sometimes I've even asked them as soon as they've purchased my program, hey, if you know anybody who might be interested in this, please let them know. And sometimes I might give them like a monetary reward for that. But those are often my best from my own networking, from friends, from other entrepreneurs. I've gotten referrals. By far, it's my number one. People want to buy from those they already know and trust. So if you've got friends who can recommend you, let them know this is what to do. Hey, I'm starting up a coaching practice. If you know someone might be interested, feel free to send them to your coaching funnel, right? Send them to that URL. If you're first starting out, hey, you're going to have to learn how to hustle. So you need to do outreach. And that requires friends, families, as I mentioned, former clients. But again, if you're first starting out, just ask in your networking, hey, I'm starting up a coaching practice. Here's like people that seems to do best from this, and then send out your avatar in terms of people that you think would work best with you. By far, that's the number one way. Number two, I've always focused on building your email list, right? So you want to make sure that you have an email newsletter, or at least sending out an email, ideally, at least twice a week, minimum of once a week. And they say every time you do not email every per month, your response rate goes down about 10%. So if you haven't emailed your list in about 6 months, it's gone down 10% each time. So that could be any time you've got new content you want to share. You're not just necessarily something that you're trying to sell, though. I try to do 75% content, and then 25% of my emails is something that I'm going to sell. You want to provide as much, of course, coming from a place of value, like I'm always emphasizing, anytime you've got new content. So if you've got a new article, you want to let them know. Post about it or email about it. You're being interviewed. You've got a sales, you've got a new speaking engagement that you just did. Talk about that. Talk about your clients' wins. I think that's even more important. Talk about, hey, I'm currently working on with someone, and here's a testimonial that they did. Anything where you're continuing to provide new content, maybe you can comment on things, you know, that are topical to them and why, and maybe your spin on it and why you think that's important. Again, you're establishing yourself as the authority. And this is why I like emails, because it's permanent. It's going to be in your inbox versus social media, which a video maybe lasts 30 seconds and then it disappears for forever, right? We're all trying to vie for people's attention these days. And that's why I love creating the email. Number three, be a podcast guest. Now, I'm going to be biased because I own a podcast. I run one. But I've seen firsthand the power of podcasting. Just some statistics to share with you. 168 million and above have listened to podcasts. 168 million Americans have listened to a podcast. 41% of Americans listen to podcasts on a monthly basis. 28% of Americans listen to it on a weekly. It's free promotion. And as a podcast owner, I know it's always important to get new and interesting guests on. And that's a great opportunity for yourself. If you are catering to professionals who are busy and they don't have a lot of free time, for example, doctors, I know when I have a podcast and they're turning that on into their car, I've got a captive audience. And they may not have a lot of time to get information. And podcast is one of the ways that they can contact the car. Walking, jogging, exercising. It's a great way where you have their mostly full attention when you are sharing what you can do. You might not get, they might not have time to watch 6-hour video, 60-minute video, or read a book that you've written, but they might have 20 to 30 minutes to listen to your education, to your knowledge. When you're on the podcast, again, I want you to give that link to your lead magnet. Not your website, to your lead magnet, because that's how you're going to capture them. That's going to be the entrance into their funnel so you can get their contact information, their name, email. I'm hammering that again. It's important that you create a one sheet. A one sheet is used, that we use in the podcast world, to define what you do, what you can talk about. Some simple things. Who are you? What do you do? Why would you be a good guest on this specific show? I think this is like super important. What can you talk about? What are you an expert on? I get these podcast guest requests daily that are usually hired by a company, and I could tell they've never listened to the show because it's not a good fit for my audience. It's always interesting to me. I usually have physicians on for the most part, and they're not a physician, and they don't tell me why they would be good. They just know they've got some reach, and they get an opportunity. The one sheet should also obviously have contact information, good-looking personal headshot. Those are the six factors that you need to have on a one sheet. Talk about practice startup, online marketing, physician entrepreneurship. I give sample interview questions. These are very simple things that makes my job a lot easier as the host, so I can introduce my audience to a guest and all my different ways that they can contact. It's always a pain when I have a guest on and they're not prepared and I have to reschedule simply because they've never done it before. If there's something like this, that makes it so much easier. So get it prepared. Get your own one sheet. It should be in a PDF form that you can easily mail. And you can use this not only for podcasting, you can use that for speaking engagement, because that's what it was from, speaking engagement. How to get booked onto podcasts. First off, like I said, listen to previous podcasts. See where your competition are being booked. If you want to see what the popularity is, you can go to a website called ListenNotes.com, and it gives you an idea about what the reach is. Are they in like 1%, 0.5%, top 5% of the audience, to give you an idea? But again, when you're first starting out, I want to speak everywhere. I want to speak wherever I can get access to, because What you'll also get is you'll get that content that you can use that we'll talk about that can be the basis for your articles, your videos, etc. If you don't know, see where your competitors or your perceived competitors are. Where are they being booked? I always think it's best that you have a personal note that says something like, hey, I really enjoyed your program. I especially like this episode where you talked about this. And I really want to make sure that you've actually listened to it. I get these canned emails from these podcast bookers. And I can tell that they really haven't really listened to the show. And talk about why, have an angle. I'm focused on my audience and I want to make sure that you're like legit, you're the real thing. And talk about an angle why it'd be beneficial for my audience to hear what you have to say. I also highlight, it might scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Give me a 5-star review if you liked it so much. Give me a 5-star review even before you're being booked. That, I know it sounds quick crow. I was like, if you've already given me a 5-star review, and I'm more inclined to listen to you if you have it. Again, your topic should be about anywhere between, depending on, maybe they have a special format, so maybe their guests can only have for 10 minutes. Mine usually get about 20 to 30 minutes. Focus on providing value. That's what it's all about. Focus on the value. This is not where you're just going to show your next launch, or your next program you're doing. Give them something that can really be beneficial. And we look at our stats, and if you've got something that is a really compelling topic, and I see this being downloaded a lot, I'm more than likely going to have you on in it as a repeat guest. Now, you can hire these podcast bookers that are out there. People do it, but I think it's cheesy because I usually don't really read them a lot. That's just me. Others may be beneficial. Every now and then I'll look to see who's contacting me. But for the most part, just like a personal finding on Facebook or LinkedIn or shooting out an email to me as to why they're, but because at the end of the day, I'm just interested giving the best value and the best information.
America spends more on healthcare than any other country, yet we rank 48th in life expectancy. We spend trillions, but 200,000 insured people still declare medical bankruptcy every year. Clearly, the system is broken. But what if there was a way to take back control, to break free from inflated costs and red tape? That's exactly what CrowdHealth was created, a smarter, more transparent way to pay for healthcare. No middlemen, no bureaucracy, just a community helping each other when it matters most. Join the revolution. Go to joincrowdhealth.com and use promo code BootstrapMD for a discount on your first 3 months. Because your health should be in your hands, not theirs.
Yeah, the fourth way that I feel is the best way to market your coach practice is being a speaker at live events. And this is simply the same strategy that we use for podcast guests. And it's important to not, you can just wait for when they have a call for speakers and to sign up. I used to have it where I would set up anytime the phrase call for speakers came out, and then I would put it in my Google Trends and just to see what's coming out. But you might think, my audience is physicians, I just want to go to physician-only audiences, then that's fine. For me, I spoke for many years to non-physician audiences, and I would be the only physician in many of these business conferences. So go outside your niche. It doesn't just have to be your particular audience. If it's paid, that's even better. I often got paid because I was allowed to sell products at my event. They call back of the room sales. So it was all very lucrative for us. We spoke at live events. You can also speak at a virtual event, speaking at other people's virtual events. And that's a great way to do it, just to get yourself out there, because then you can put that as bragging rights, put that on your website. You spoke at this event and this event, or you showed the stage with this particular speaker. And so that's a very powerful way on doing it. And they might not have a specific, say, hey, call for speakers, but just ask them, say, are you looking for extra speakers? Because you never know what might happen. Somebody could drop out at the last minute. They could get COVID. You never know what it is. Put yourself out there. Cost you wait a few seconds, a few minutes to write an email just to let them know. And I would have like notifications when, like I said, call for speakers, different types of conferences that I wanted to speak at. I would identify which speaker, which places I want to go to. And oftentimes it's not like there was an event I wanted to speak at. And I usually contacted them like a few weeks after the event. If it was an annual event, I would try to contact the organizer a couple of weeks afterwards. And it's even better if you've actually been a paid attendee. So you've actually paid them. They're going to take more notice that you've actually paid and put money in their pocket. I really like the event. I'd like to, if you're looking for speakers, I noticed that you didn't really cover this, and I'm an authority in this particular topic that I think would be very beneficial to your audience. It sounds like what I just talked about with Joseph Podcast, but that's what they want. They want to provide a great experience for their attendees. And usually a few weeks after the event, they've already decompressed and they're already talking about the next event, next year's event. Perfect opportunity for you to start contacting and putting out your feelers and say, hey, if you're looking for this, what, you know, I'd love to have the opportunity to speak, and here's why. Number five is excelling in one particular media. I said, I'm biased. I like podcasting. Podcasting, for me, forces me to create content. That's probably one of the most important things that I've done in my business, is because it forces me to create content, just like we're talking. And then I can create that content. I can refurbish it into articles. I can get it transcribed. I can use something, rev.com or script.com, which creates articles for me. I can take that audio and I can put it into video form. And then I've got a YouTube channel. I don't focus on creating YouTube videos. I take audio from it and then we take snippets of it and then put it into either the whole podcast episode, or sometimes we take snippets of it. And all I'm trying to do is trying to reach people, because we all learn from different ways. Some learn from audio, some learn from the written word, some learn by watching videos. And I'm trying to get them in all singular ways, but I'm not focusing on everything. I'm not trying to create my YouTube channel and then create my podcast and then create my Instagram and then create my blog, because I'll just go crazy doing it. I don't try to do everything. I focus on one particular medium, in my case, podcasting, and then let everything flow from that. You could hire somebody to take all that content and then distribute it into those different forms. And so that's why I just said, when talking about this program, I don't not really be active on social media. I'm active in creating content, but I'm not the one actually doing it. I'm hiring somebody to actually doing that for me. And be honest, I'm not doing it ideally as I could be doing it, but it's easier for me to just to focus on one thing. I'm quoting the book, the one thing, to allow me to be really good and excel and crush it in that one particular area, and then being able to distribute my content. You can hire somebody, a virtual assistant, you can find somebody in Upwork to help do this for you. But that's why, for me, I focus on podcast. Let, you know, if you like being on video and that's your thing, then you just focus on that. If you like writing and you like blogging and that's what you want to do, then just focus on that. Really hone in that one particular medium, and then everything else. Number six, write a book. Now, I told you I just focused on audio, but I wrote a book. And how I wrote a book was, I took podcast episodes, I took content that I spoke at workshops, and then I hired someone, an editor, and I gave them all my audio. I gave them video for them to watch and compel them to just, hey, can you take this and make it into book form? Of course, I manipulated the area. I put down what topics it was, and then I just hired an editor. And when you write a book, it's when you're looking to get, let's say, paid speaking engagement, the person who they're actually choosing who they speak on, if someone was talked about a topic and didn't have a book versus someone who actually was an expert on that topic but actually wrote a book on that topic, who do you think they're most likely going to choose? They're going to choose the person who actually wrote the book. And I self-published my book. I'm not telling you I got it on Simon & Schuster. I basically use Amazon to help publish the book. Nobody really cares. I actually don't care. Others might care, but most people really don't care if it was published by Random House or some big name bookseller. What they care about is you got great content and you've got great information you can share. I'm actually working on my next book. And it allows us to, one of the ways, and this is, again, it's a long process. It took me 15 years to write my second book, but until I realized I already had the content in my head, I already had all that information out there into the zeitgeist. I just needed to put in a form that people would want, and that's what my book came out. And I'm doing the same thing for my next book, is just taking topics that I've already talked about and actually shared with my clients and shared with the public, and then just putting it in a realm and just But doing that, I've got clients just because I've had a book and they wanted to learn more what I do. Amazon is a great way. Everybody's got an Amazon. Great way of actually reaching out to people. Then you take bivalves in an audible form. And then again, like I said, you've got a captive audience. If they've got an audiobook out, they may not have time to read, but they can have time to listen to your book. And then number seven is hosting your own event. I love physical events. I'm glad we're able to do physical events again. But again, a very powerful way to they get to know you, they like you, trust you, break bread with them, you meet them in person. Most of my clients, a number of my clients I've met personally and have spent thousands of dollars, some tens, hundreds, thousands of dollars with me because I've actually worked with them. I met them in person, generally a good-natured guy, and more importantly, that I could help them with whatever problem. So those are my favorite seven ways to scale and grow your coaching business. And if you want to get even more exposure, I highly encourage you to open up a free account at physiciancoaches.com. It's the largest directory of coaches, consultants, and mentors that cater to physicians. You can set up your free account today by just going to physiciancoaches.com. Thanks, guys, for listening. I know starting a coaching business can be exciting. It can also be a little bit scary. But if you're just systematic and strategic and just focusing on something every day that gets you a little bit closer to the goals, it's all about keep moving forward.
You've just listened to the Bootstrap MD podcast. For more valuable resources, as well as past recordings of our show, check out our website at bootstrapmd.com. Now let's get to work.